It's strong up here, Brandon. Lord have mercy. It was tougher, strong down there too. There's a little special place right down there. All right. Here's just a couple of things being on Mother's Day. Here's a mama. She says, I have the perfect son. Well, does he smoke? No, he doesn't. Well, does he drink whiskey? No, he doesn't. Does he ever come home late? No, he doesn't. Well, I guess you really do have the perfect son. How old is he? He'll be 6 months old next Wednesday. All right. Here's the next one. Mothers with teenagers know why animals eat their young. All right, I got two more. This is the daughter speaking. Mom, what's it like to have the greatest daughter in the world? Mom, I don't know, dear. You'll have to go ask your grandma. Oh, my gosh. All right, one more. Two children ordered their mother to stay in bed one Mother's Day morning. As she lay there looking forward to breakfast in bed, the smell of bacon floated up from the kitchen. But after a good long wait, she finally went downstairs to investigate. She found them both sitting at the table eating bacon and eggs. And they said, well, as a surprise for Mother's Day, one explained, we decided to cook our own breakfast. Oh, my word. Oh, my gosh. All right, let's get into the Word this morning here. Been waiting to share it today. Oh, my goodness. Isaiah chapter 49. We're going to begin with the 13th verse. Hallelujah. We had such an awesome time yesterday, Brandon. You're right. It was so sweet. So sweet. See all these boys. They were catching some fishes. All right. Isaiah 49, beginning with verse 13. And also, I do welcome all of our guests today. We love y'all. Thank you for being here with us. You came today, and so we honor you. We're glad you're here. All right. Beginning with verse 13. Why don't you follow along? Sing, O heavens, and be joyful, O earth, and break forth into singing, O mountains. For the Lord has comforted His people and will have mercy upon His afflicted. But Zion said, and in the scripture here it's Jerusalem, but Zion said, the Lord has forsaken me and my Lord has forgotten me. Look at verse 15. And he's questioning them. Can a woman forget her sucking child that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget, yet I will. Will I not forget thee? That's the Lord speaking. Look at verse 16. Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. Thy walls are continually before me. Thy children shall make haste, thy destroyers, and they that made thee way shall go forth of thee. Lift up thine eyes round about, and behold, all these gather themselves together and come to thee. As I live, says the Lord, thou shalt surely clothe thee with them all, as with an ornament, and bind them on thee as a bride doeth. We'll get into these here in just a moment. The title of my Mother's Day message today is, What an Awesome God We Serve. And I'm telling you, every song today, testimonies, every song has been honoring the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why we feel His presence right here today. I want to talk to you today about a very important subject. But before I do, let me just ask you a couple of questions as we get started here. If you're honest with yourself, have you ever found yourself wondering if God really does love you? Have you ever found yourself in that place? Have you ever felt at times that God has abandoned you in the midst of your pain, in the midst of your suffering, even in those times of confusion? If you have today, if you've done that, if that's been something in your life, the Lord has a message for you today, and that's what I want to share with all of us this morning. As we look at our passage here in Isaiah 49, we find the people of God are dealing with similar feelings. They're wondering if the Lord really loves them. They are wondering if God has actually abandoned them. Our writer very carefully paints for us a picture of what is going on. The nation of Judah has been soundly defeated by the Babylonians. The city's walls, Jerusalem's walls, have been burned down and torn down, leaving the city at the mercy of everyone and everything. Wild animals have begun to roam the streets. Everything is eerily void of traffic and noise. King Zedekiah, who was Judah's 20th king, has been captured and forced to watch his sons put to death. And Zedekiah, his own eyes now have been gouged out. He is led back to Babylon, defeated. He's devastated and shackled hand and foot. And he is led naked in a parade and shamed before all of his enemy. The temple has been demolished. The Levites, the priests, have either been killed or taken prisoner or in hiding in a nearby village. Nothing of any value remains. All that's left are broken hearts and broken walls and shattered dreams and scattered ashes. The king's palace and all of the official buildings have been razed to the ground. Everything of value has been destroyed or carted off to be put into King Nebuchadnezzar's vaults. The majority of Jerusalem's population has been killed now, including the young men and the women, along with the old and the infirmed. Most of those who survived then are taken back to Babylon, where they will spend the rest of their lives as servants of Nebuchadnezzar and his sons. It may be hard for us today to picture all of the devastation that had occurred in and around the city of Jerusalem at that time. It may be hard for us to picture all of the death that had occurred there in and around the city of Jerusalem. It's something like we would see in a modern apocalyptic movie where a city has been totally devastated by an enemy. Everything was gone, the government, the city walls, the temple, along with hope for a better tomorrow. Judah was finished. All was left then were a few poor people who were left behind to tend to the remaining vineyard fields and the livestock that remained. In our passage, the prophet Isaiah is addressing those then who had survived and were now living in exile in the city of Babylon, some 1,700 miles away from Jerusalem, 1,700 miles away from the land that God had given them, 1,700 miles away from their independence and their freedom and everything that they had cherished. Many felt that they were even further away from God Himself. They understood then through the prophets that it was not the Babylonians that had actually destroyed them. Listen to this. They had destroyed themselves, sadly. Their sins, both personal and corporate, had brought about their annihilation. Their sins had brought upon a time of judgment and subsequent desolation. For years, as a people, they had chosen to rebel against the Lord God Almighty. Their ancestors themselves now had adopted a lifestyle of greed and self-gratification and debauchery. As a nation, they had chosen to worship false gods. And God, we know, is the one and only God. They worshiped other gods. They had instead decided that there were many gods and goddesses to worship and to love and to serve. In the natural, it looked very much like the Lord God Almighty had abandoned them. It looked that way. In the natural, it looked very much like the history of God's people would ultimately disappear in the sands of the Babylonian deserts. The people of God would merely become a historical footnote, Sister North, of a time lost, long lost. They would be absorbed into the culture now of the Babylonians, while any left behind would become absorbed into the remaining cultures of the Canaanites. In the natural, it looked like the promises given to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob were gone. It looked like the promise given to King David were gone. It looked like all the teachings and preaching of the prophets would be forgotten by God's people, slowly but surely disappeared. That is where we find the people then of God here in verse 14. Their hope was vanishing. They believed that their future was bleak and that everything was finished. At least that is what God's people are declaring to Him in their prayers. This was what was being shared among the Jewish exiles in Babylon as they settled down in their new lives as Nebuchadnezzar's servants. All of that is bad news. It is horrible news. It is the loss then of dreams and hopes. But our God does not leave them there. Even though they had caused their exile, the Lord God Almighty, Brandon, did not forsake them. The Lord was not back in some burned out temple, Brother Tony, devastated and defeated. He is the Lord God Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. He is not limited. You've got to know that today. God is not limited. He is omnipotent, meaning He is all-powerful. He's omnipresent, meaning that He's everywhere. And He's omniscient, meaning all-knowing. The Lord was with them. He was right there in their midst. He was sharing their pain, their loss of hope, and their suffering. The Lord instructed then the prophet Isaiah to send a new message, a message of hope, a message of love, a message of a promised future. It is this message that I believe the Lord wants me to share with all of us this morning. For while our nation, guess what, has not been completely devastated, we are definitely seeing some cracks in our government, in our education systems. It's been doing it for years. Our churches and our society. We have to admit that we are not the same God-fearing nation that we were 50 to 75 years ago. Our culture is forever changing, and it's not always for the better. The same is true then of our nation. Even our churches are changing as they are becoming then more interested in being progressive and woke than making sure they're staying true to God's Word. How sad is that? Will God abandon us then? Are we doomed to fall like ancient Judah fell? Has God already given up on us as a nation and as a people? How many of us this morning at times have felt that God had abandoned us personally? How many of us have wondered, as those who lived long ago wondered, does God love us anymore? Perhaps personally then we are suffering from seeing the fabric of our family being torn apart before our eyes because of the devil's lies and evil intentions that are at work today. Understand, he wants the family unit torn apart and destroyed. You've got to understand what he is doing today and in this hour. He wants you at odds with one another. He wants you finding fault with one another. You see, because if you become bitter and you become angry and you're desiring revenge, guess what? He has won. The devil has won. Perhaps we are watching our children and our grandchildren no longer having a vibrant passion for the Lord or for righteousness. Perhaps our job situation is becoming unbearable. Perhaps our health is beginning to fail, and we're wondering where the Lord is in the midst of cancer, in the midst of COVID, in the midst of other diseases. Perhaps very little in our lives is going as it should, even though we are doing all we can to stay true and faithful. Where is the Lord in times like these? Not everyone was full of sin that was carried off to Babylon. Not everyone had rejected the Lord. Not everyone deserved what had happened to them and to their families. But nonetheless, they found themselves 1,700 miles away from their homes and forced to live in a pagan culture and serving a pagan king. There were people like Daniel and the three Hebrew children who had been faithful and continued to be faithful, even under the most severe circumstances. There was the prophet Ezekiel, who, while he no longer served as a temple priest, he was still able to be used by God to help the exiles remain steadfast and faithful. There were hundreds of others that remained faithful, and they all had to endure then a time of exile and a time of suffering. And in the midst of all of this turmoil, in the midst of all of this struggle, and this time of doubt, in this time of despair, the Lord sent a word through the prophet Isaiah. Let's look at it this morning. Let's look at what the prophet Isaiah wants the people of God to always remember, no matter where they find themselves, no matter where we find ourselves in life. Here it is. It's this, that God's love is a love that supersedes a mother's love. And therefore, he will be present no matter what the circumstances and the situations. And verse 15 shouts out to us this morning. It shouts out to us because as we read the Old Testament, we do not encounter, listen, many passages that speak of God's love using such a word picture. Most of the pictures of God that we have in the Old Testament tend to center on the masculine side of God. But here in this passage, what God's people needed most was to be reminded that both male and female has been created in God's image. In other words, God's love can be described in terms that are either male or female in nature. The prophet tells us that the Lord's love is a love that supersedes even that displayed and experienced by a nursing mother. God's love supersedes that of a woman who has been carrying a child for 40 weeks, given birth, and now is nourishing the child with her own body. This is a mother whose life is centered on her child. She is actively giving health to her child. She's doing all she can to care for her child physically, emotionally, and mentally. She's making sure that her child is receiving all the proper care and nutrition that she can possibly provide. She knows that her baby cannot take care of himself or herself. It can't bathe itself. It can't dress itself. It can't do anything more than receive. And so as its loving mother, she does all that she can to keep the baby clean and well-dressed and warm as she lovingly gives birth gives out of her own body so that the child can survive and even thrive. In light of all of this, it may be inconceivable for us to think about a mother who would abandon her baby. It makes no sense. There is a major disconnect in the very core of our being when we hear about or read about such reports. There's something that screams at us that something is all wrong when that happens. And yet we all know that it sometimes happens. And sadly, it does. We don't always know why, but it does. Some mothers just feel like they have to abandon their babies. They leave their babies to die. Now, we're not here to judge this morning those mothers. We're not here to judge the mothers or to pile on guilt upon such mothers. That would be counterproductive of this message that the prophet Isaiah wants to share. That is not what this message is trying to do. It merely says, even though such a horrible thing might happen in the natural world, it will never happen with God. The prophet Isaiah wants us to understand that God will never abandon us. Circumstances may cause us to end up in an exile state. Circumstances due to having a free will to make our own choices and due to the fall of Adam and Eve in the garden may cause us to find ourselves being imprisoned to loneliness and pain and suffering. Circumstances may lead us down a very dark path, but we must understand that our Lord God Almighty will never leave us or abandon us. Woo! That is not who our God is. Sin was a major reason for the exile. You've got to know that. Sin created the environment that allowed the Babylonians to be able to come in and overtake God's people. But sin could not and will never be able to keep God's love from overshadowing us and surrounding us. And we see this vividly displayed in the lives of the three Hebrew children, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And in the natural, it looked like God had abandoned them. Where was this image of a mother nursing its child when they were being thrown into the fiery furnace to be burned alive? The answer was that image was right there with them as King Nebuchadnezzar did not see three men in the fire, but four men. And the fourth man looks like the Son of God, is what King Nebuchadnezzar said. This morning, no matter what we're going through, it might be family issues, job issues, emotional issues, health issues, financial issues, some of the issues. We need to realize that the Lord God Almighty has not abandoned, nor will He ever abandon us. His Word says God will never leave us or forsake us. Hallelujah. God will walk through the fire with us. God will stay by our side through the thick and thin. God's love is more amazing than we could ever think or imagine. God's love for us is so deep that it cut into the palms of His hands. The Scripture says, which we read in our text, verse 16. One of the things that is interesting that has become popular in the United States is body art inking. It's known as tattooing. Did you know that I read that where 145 million people in the United States have at least one piece of body art tattooed somewhere on them. And believe it or not, over 4 million people have as many as 20 tattoos. And those tattoos range from all kinds of designs and pictures and words. And years past, guess what? Body ink was associated with people who were living on what could be called the fringes of society. Anybody living on the fringes of society? Proudly. I live on the fringe. I don't have a tattoo, but I live on the fringe. You know, they don't like Christians. The world don't like Christians. For example, it was not uncommon for people who had served some time in jail or to have a tattoo. And the same could be said for those who belong to certain clubs or organizations. And of course, tattoos have always been common among those who serve in the military. And it said especially the Navy. But today, all kinds of people are displaying their body art. People who are actors and singers and athletes, along with teachers, lawyers, bank tellers, waiters, even church leaders now display their body art. And while to some it may still be seen as a sign of rebellion, it no longer has that social stigma it once had. Many people get a tattoo to mark a significant experience or a struggle in their lives. Some have gotten a tattoo as a way to say that to keep my mother's memory, or as a way of honoring a first child, or to give significance to a particular event in their lives. Some just get a tattoo as a way of expressing who they are on the inside, while some say that their tattoos tell their life story. Some just like to have a bit of body art on their skin, showing some butterflies and flowers or whatever in strange places. We won't go there. So when we come to verse 16, I'm going to finish this because it's going to make a point you're going to see. So when we come to verse 16, I got to tell Andrew, he's on the fringe, okay? Andrew's on the fringe. So when we come to verse 16, you may find yourself being taken back. Why in the world would the Holy Spirit inspire the prophet Isaiah to write such a thing in verse 16? Can we show that verse 16 again? There we go. Do we have it up there? Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. Thy walls are continually before me. Thank you. Now, why would he write such a thing, especially in light of Leviticus 19 and 28, which strictly forbids the practice of tattooing one body? You can read it for yourself. On top of that, this particular tattoo is on the palm, the Bible says, on his hand, which of course in that day included the part of the wrist area as well. So what are we to make of all of this? I believe the Holy Spirit inspired the prophet Isaiah to write those words to get everyone's attention. We just looked at where the prophet writes that God's love is seen as greater than the love of a nursing mother. We saw that in the previous verses. That had to get their attention. That was an unusual way then of speaking about the Lord God Almighty. It also had to bring a great amount of peace to those who heard those words. God had not abandoned them. God still loved them and was still interested in taking care of them, of having an intimate relationship with them, providing them support, love, and concern. Now the prophet says that God's love is so deep that he has written the name of those he loves on his palm or his wrist. Babies grow up. There comes a day when they no longer need to be nursed. The people who are hearing the prophet's words right then, may be thinking that in the past God did not take care of them like a nursing mother. They could point back to the manna, though, in the wilderness, and how God raised up King David and even other events, but those days now were long gone. And now the prophet Isaiah goes further and says that just as a tattoo is permanent and is permanent, the same is true of God's love. The Lord God Almighty loves his people so much that he purposely marks his palms and wrists with their names. Hang on. Forever and ever, as he looks at his hands. He reads the names of all those, Sister North, that belong to him. And before we go on, let me clarify something so you don't get hung up on tattoos. If you have a tattoo or you don't, I believe that's your choice, okay? I don't personally have any tattoos, and that's because I don't like needles, okay? And I really don't want to spend my money on that. But now if you take me to the fishing section, I may have to spend money on my fishing, okay? What I would love for us to focus on is not whether we have some body art, but to go back and look at this verse 16 in a bit more detail. For what the prophet Isaiah shares is much richer and deeper than I think we can imagine at first glance. Look at the beginning of that verse. It tells us to behold. Behold. Some translations have the word see instead of behold. The prophet wants to get our attention to the fact of something. He wants us to look at something. He wants us to inspect something. The prophet tells us that the Lord has written or engraved our names on the palms of his hands. The actual word that Isaiah uses here can also mean to cut or to inscribe. In other words, the Lord has cut our names into the palms of his hands. And for those who follow Jesus this morning, all of this should speak volumes to us. For we know that the Lord's hands were cut that day on Mount Calvary. How were they cut? We know that Jesus' hands were cut into those nail-pierced hands as he was nailed to the cross. As he was nailed to the cross. Is there any greater show then of God's love than when he allowed his palms and wrists to be cut so that we could be rescued from both the power of sin and the penalty of sin? Maybe you read the book or you saw the movie some years back called The Shack. I had to look at the meaning of the whole movie as it shakes up one's theology, especially if you've been grounded in doctrine in a particular way. But there is this one scene in the movie where the main actor or the main character is talking with God as the Father when he sees something that catches his attention. He looks at the wrist or the hands of the person playing the part of God the Father. And then he looks over and there's the one that's playing the part of God the Son. And then he looks over to the one that's playing the part of God the Holy Spirit. And he notices that all, every one of them, are carrying the same scars. In other words, what scarred them was the love that they have for all of us. Now, we know Jesus was all God and he was all man. He was the creator of the universe. And he made Adam and Eve. And he came to earth and he wrapped himself in flesh. And he walked among men. And he died. And he rose from the grave. And he returned to heaven. Yet sent his Holy Spirit back to us to live within us and to infill us with his power. So when I read verse 16, I see Jesus taking on those scars just for me and just for you. And in fact, you could say that those scars have our names inscribed into them. So just how much does Jesus love us? Enough that the creator of the universe would die for us and forever transform us, and transform himself with our names that are written in those scars. Jesus died for each and every one of us. Jesus paid the penalty for our sins. Jesus broke the power of sin and made it possible for all of us to be rescued. He made it possible for us to be redeemed, Brandon. He made it possible for us to be restored, Brother Tony, in His image. Amen. Jesus made it possible for each one of us to be filled with His Spirit. Who will lead us now? The Holy Spirit of Almighty God will lead us and guide us to become the people of God that He wanted us to be. A people who then are at one with Him and with others in creation. You see, this morning, the people of God were never abandoned, Sister North. They were never abandoned. God could have abandoned them. And I mean, after all, they rejected Him over and over again. But that is not the God that you and I serve this morning. That is not the God of Adam and Eve. That is not the God of Noah. That's not the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That's not the God of Ruth or of King David. That is not the God of Daniel, Hosea, and Malachi. And that's not the God of Zacharias and John or the Apostle Paul. And a little later on in this chapter, the prophet shares that the time is coming that they would all return to Jerusalem. And they did. God has not abandoned them, and He's already making a way for them then to return and rebuild the city. He's making a way for His people to come home. And until then, guess what? God will be there with them as a nursing mother and as one who constantly sees their names cut into the palms of His hands. So this morning, on Mother's Day, May 8th, 2022, no matter what the future holds for our nation or for our world, for our even our personal world around us, we need to be encouraged by the words shared here by the prophet Isaiah. We need to realize that our God will never abandon us. You've got to always remember that. He will be there with us every step of the way. And that doesn't mean that every day will be filled. Where's Michelle? Every day will be filled with unicorns and butterflies and marshmallows and guess what? Lucky Charm cereal. Need I remind us that pain and struggles and trials and temptations and setbacks and heartaches and the like are a part of this fallen world. You've got to remember that. But we don't have to go through all those things by ourselves. You have the Lord God Almighty, and we have a church family that is awesome. God will be there and is there for us, helping us, encouraging us, and supporting us. God will make a way for us if we will just lean on Him and lean on each other. We have the body of Christ to lean upon. We who know Jesus as our Savior and Lord are called His body, and we are infilled with His Spirit. And so that does not make us perfect. Do you know that? You are not perfect. I am not perfect, but it does enable us to encourage and support and love both those inside the church and those outside the church. We can and we are supposed to be the hands and the feet and the mouthpiece of Jesus in our world today. Today's message is not heavy. I'm almost through. It's not one to make you feel uneasy or to be filled with guilt or remorse. It's just the opposite, in fact. Today's message on Mother's Day is one that I believe the Lord wants us to hear to remind us that we serve a God who loves us more than even the best nursing mother. A God who loves us and who has tattooed or cut our names into His hands. The hands that bear the scars of the cross of Calvary. A God who, as the psalmist says, walks with us even through the valley of the shadow of death, Sister Lutine. That is who our God is. That is who we serve today. That is who has rescued us. That is who has redeemed us. And that is who is restoring us in His image on a daily basis. He's still working on us till He comes and takes us home. He's not finished with us. Amen. And most of all, this is the God who invites us to be cleansed from our sins and be born again. That is our God. And guess what? He is an awesome God. Can you say amen today? Hallelujah, hallelujah. For just a moment, every eye closed. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Is there anyone in here that you've not made the Lord Jesus your Savior? And you want to come back to Him and just renew your lives today? I'm not asking you to get up. I'm just asking you, maybe with all our eyes closed, would you just raise your hands today and say, I want to be sure of my salvation. I want to come back to the Lord. I want to get closer to Him than I've been. Can you be honest today, right where you're sitting, with every eye closed, could you raise your hand? Just say, I want to be closer to Him. Thank you. Thank you for being honest today. Anybody else? Anybody else? How about I want to go deeper? I want to go higher? I want to stay in tune with Him. Thank you, Jesus. Okay. Let's be sure with the ones that raised their hands. Would you repeat this after me as we close today? Hallelujah. I'm doing good. It's only 12:14. I don't think my watch stopped, did it? 12:14? All right. All right. Right where you're sitting today, would you repeat this after me? Well, I want to make sure. Dear Lord Jesus, You said in Your word that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I'm calling on You right now. I believe that You died on the cross for my sins and that You arose from the dead on the third day, and You're alive right now. Lord Jesus, I'm asking You now to come into my heart. Fill me with Your Spirit. Change me. Live Your life in me and through me. I repent of all my sins and I surrender myself totally to You. By faith, I confess You now as my Lord and Savior. And from this day forward, I dedicate my life to serving You. Would you worship the Lord with a hand clap right now? Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Hallelujah. All right, before we leave, we're going to give something to our mothers today. And would y'all go and bring the bags? And I'd like for just all the mothers, would you just stand right where you're at today? Would you just stand? All the mothers. And I've got three beautiful girls here. Emily and Riley and Bailey. Would you, and Kylie, thank you. My mind just went. Would y'all come up here? Because I'd like for you to take the bags to all the mothers, okay? Y'all come get some. They're going to get some bags? Okay. Just take them to all the mothers who are standing, okay? Just find you some. Take back there. All the mamas, okay. How sweet. Oh, my gosh. Just go through the house. Hallelujah. All right. Oh, how beautiful. Okay. We honor You today. Hallelujah. Thank You, Lord. How sweet. Oh, my gosh. We're bringing them, okay. You got everybody. Come on, get some more. Make sure they've all got a bag today. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for all of our mamas. Hallelujah. We need one for Kim down in the gym. Do we have any more? They may have one extra when they... Okay, they've got some extra. Bring it. Oh, give some, whoever's you see. All right, there's Faye. Okay. All right. Okie dokie. Okay, one for Kim. There we go. All right, we need some more. You want to give one for Lutine to give to Sue and Linda? Do you have two extra? Would you take them to Lutine? Yeah, okay. Here, take them to them. One's for Linda and then one's for Sue, okay? Okay, hallelujah. We love you. Let's honor our mom and moms with a hand clap today. We love you, honor all of y'all. All right. Well, God bless you. Y'all are dismissed to go stand in line for 45 minutes. Okay. Hour and a half. Yeah, that's all.